Welcome to My Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrienne Cobb. Join me on a journey back home to your truest self in this inspiring, enlightening, and entertaining show. After a near-death experience in a car crash at 15 years old, I made a choice to stay and brought back with me three simple truths that I found from the other side. Love is all there is. Our time is over here quicker than we think. And we all have a purpose, a soul blueprint to fulfill. On this show, you will find a higher purpose, a creative expression, and unique soul attributes that you can bring forth into this world. Stay tuned with me for the next hour and find your higher purpose on My Wild Magic, starting now. Welcome, everyone. I am Adrienne. You're listening to My Wild Magic with Adrienne on Transformation Talk Radio. And today we have our guest is Aspen Robinson. And I did a session with her earlier this week, totally spaced me out. But the work was quite profound and I'm really excited to have you on, Aspen. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to just talk about all the good things.
Yeah, she's got a lot of cool things. If you're into spiritual work, transformational work, intuitive work, life coaching work, she's got a lot of different dynamics and things that she brings into one session in the way that she works that is pretty exceptional. You know, the way you kind of pull on different things and also just the beings that you work with on that energy as well. And you definitely feel like you are operating on the indigo spectrum, you know, so a lot of the guests I have on kind of do have that going for them.
Yep. And I can definitely resonate with that.
Yeah. And so with your energy field, it feels like you're working at a pretty high caliber, a little bit more, I would say, almost at the crystal indigo type being. I don't know if you resonate with that or not. There's different types of indigos. There's the indigo, the rainbow, the crystal, the diamond. Maybe it's the diamond, actually. I just know it's something really bright and shiny. The diamond, golden. And so your energy field, yeah, it feels like a little more of the crystal. So with your energy, you're just pulling in with that indigo rate, like a ton of like clairvoyant energy, inner sight energy. So Aspen does emotional and body code work. She does psych K work. She also does going into the
Akashic.
Records, thank you, Hall of Records, and then intuitive work. But what kind of got you started on this journey?
Yeah, so it started maybe, I would say 12 years ago when my son was born, and he was born 2 months early. And so we had this really traumatic entry into the world. And at the time, I had zero tools, like zero spiritual or energetic tools to really help navigate that. And so I really struggled for a long time with PTSD and anxiety. And I just had this feeling that if I could figure out the root of it and I could heal from there, then I could literally leave it at the door and I could carry on with my life. And so that's how I ended up finding this work, is I just kept digging and digging, and somebody recommended a friend of mine. She was like, I think you'd really resonate with like the emotional part of this work. And that's literally where I was struggling the most. And so I had some sessions with another practitioner, and it was literally like the next day I was like, oh my gosh, the panic is leaving my body, the anxiety. And I really just from there, I ended up taking the course and getting certified. And I think I spent every single day working on myself, just figuring out how it all plays out and understanding like how we carry all of these things in this life.
Well, and one of the things that I love is that when people do kind of clear their psyche, their trauma, their pain body, it's almost like a big marshmallow, like a big burnt marshmallow around us, you know, we're like walking through the world with this big marshmallow. And as that kind of melts off with certain healing techniques, whatever works for whoever, right? You found one that works great for you. When that marshmallow energy kind of melts off, you become a much clearer conduit. And I know actually how I was introduced with you, was to a friend. And the minute I looked at your picture on Instagram, I broke out in a sweat. Like I had to literally peel. I mean, it's Portland, you know, early, you know, we've had a very cool spring. And so it's cold here. And you know, I had to like take off a layer of clothing. And this girl is channeling some really powerful healing energy through her energy field, you know? So even without knowing you're talking to you, you just as a compliment, I think you have done a very good job becoming a very clear conduit that somebody could just even see a picture. Like, it seems like your higher level of service is very high for that kind of service to happen just through your presence.
That, and that really resonates. It's so funny. Today I had two sessions and the people, literally the camera came on and then they were just like bawling and they're like, I don't cry. And I'm like, it's what safe. Yes, this is a safe space. So,
yeah, right.
It's so true.
Let the marshmallow melt. Let the marshmallow melt.
Yeah. It's safe to be.
Yeah, right. Totally. Yeah. So that is excellent, right? So you found the emotional body code work. And then, so I'm curious, when you're talking about the PTSD, so you had your son, who, by the way, shows up as a golden child, which is one of the higher vibrations on the planet right now, is the golden children. And it feels like you and him have a very good bond, because as a golden child and a crystal indigo, because sometimes I think when kids are born in without an indigo parent, it's like oil and water, night and day, opposites. They just don't speak the same language, but thank goodness you and your son probably do.
He is like one of my best friends. I just adore him.
So what in the process kind of caused it to be more of a PTSD? Unless that's too personal, let's go to you.
No, I'm an open book. Well, what I found was that, you know, I thought it was just that one experience, because I had no understanding of how the emotional body and the pain body hold on to like all these different things over a lifetime. And so when I started with like that thing, I found it was actually just the thing that like tipped me over the edge, that I had been living my whole life in this state of like panic and anxiety with my nervous system, like on high alert, like just waiting for the next shoe to drop. And so I kept working my way backwards, kind of unwinding all of the pain, all of the experiences I had had. And it took me a couple of years. And then I realized it was actually age two. It was age two and almost seeing my father die. And then it was just the experience of my son and myself almost dying that kind of brought it full circle. And it became too much to actually hold or contain anymore. So it was, there were multiple things also along the way, but it was just like that stacking up of pain throughout my life and literally just not having tools or understanding that it was important to look at it.
Yeah. The other thing, kind of tuning into that birth situation, for you guys, it feels like as a golden child, he's coming in with an enormous charge of light and consciousness. And it feels like when it was in your body, channeling through your body and, you know, just supercharging your body, it feels like your nervous system just, because whenever we have any kind of pain or anything kind of infringing on our nervous system, organs, spine, whatever, anything that comes along, it's like it can fracture it. It can like, you know, kind of blow it up a little bit. So it sounds like he was very much a healing agent for you in the process of this kind of healing crisis a bit, you know.
100%. And it's, that's exactly.
Like he's coming in with a wake up in his energy field.
And he was determined. Like they were like, he's not going to drink from a bottle. He's not going to do all of these things. And he was like pulling out his tubes and everything. I mean, that child was determined. That soul was going to be here. And he was so strong, even though he was dealing with like physical stuff at the time.
Yeah. Pretty brilliant. I mean, I think that's awesome. The reason I'm just kind of focusing a little bit more on your birthing experience with him right now is, for one, there's just a lot of children coming into the world that, you know, giving them some credit for the strength they have, the determination, their own divine presence coming in, that they will handle it if they want to be here, you know.
Totally agree with that. And they're bringing in, like you were saying, like such a higher vibration, and it's forcing us to rise to the occasion as parents, right? Like I had to rise to the occasion. If I was going to raise this child, I had to do the healing. That's what I felt. Like if I was going to be the mother that I wanted to be for him, it just kind of forces you vibrationally to also level up and deal with your stuff that you're carrying.
Right. Yeah. Very, very true. Yeah. Versus just, you know, I do see sometimes with parents that they are evolved, they're spiritual people, but they're trying to raise spiritual children. But it's like without doing the personal work, it almost kind of creates this weird sort of put your child on a pedestal thing versus do your own work. And you're evolving at the same time. It sounds like you have a really good balance where you've done your own work. So whatever spirituality you're bringing to your child isn't like a philosophy. It's literally a living transformational energy, which is going to have way more effect. And it keeps the balance a little better, I find.
I love that description. That really resonates. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you had that experience. You found the emotional body code work. So, what is the emotional body code work? Like, how would you describe it?
So it is this really simple healing modality where basically it helps us tune into the emotional body. So it's a way to muscle test and identify what type of emotions, trauma, memories, experiences that we're holding on to that, like me, I was unaware of, throughout my life. And then it's a way to release them. So it's basically, if you think about emotions being a vibration and getting stuck, right, in our being, in our chakras, and all of these different levels of who we are, it's a way to actually release them so that the energy can continue to flow and we can reach that higher vibration and that healthier state.
Well, and I really like this work. I'd never had it. I've always been curious about it and never had it done till I worked with you. But I find that as human beings, kind of our primary resource is the heart, the emotions, and the nervous system, like
Amen.
brain. There's all kinds of cool things about the human body and the human being. But in the physical world, in the earth world, emotions, nervous system, heart are kind of your primaries. And it sounds like emotional body code really does. And so when you're doing emotional body code, I find that people who are highly empathic, which is a big part of the audience I work with, but and clients that I work with, because they're more emotional intelligent, they have this, they're just running a lot of that energy. But do you find that emotional body code, like when it takes the emotional stress off, that it takes stress off the nervous system, it actually helps the nervous system to rebuild, to strengthen?
So I think of like the nervous system as almost this cup. And when we have trauma or stress or anything going on, we just pour water into the cup and eventually the cup gets fuller and fuller and then it overflows. And that's when our nervous system really can't handle anymore because we're holding on to too much. So the emotion and body code is a way to empty the cup. It's a way to restore the nervous system so it has spaciousness and it can expand and take on new risks, risks that aren't necessarily survival or safety, but risks that are like expansion and potential. And so it creates space for that. And that is what I think is the most powerful about it, to be honest.
I love that. So we're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back in just a moment. Stay tuned and see you in a minute.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to Boss Up Babes, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Do you feel stuck with unresolved issues and don't know what to do or where to go? Join me, Dr. Kathy Chargaloff, in my show, Life Esteem, Rise and Transform, every first Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Leave your problems behind by learning to follow your path to life esteem. Be empowered and aware of your choices you make in life now. Visit LifeEsteem.com for more information. That's LifeEsteem.com.
Tune in to the Be Happy Now show with me, Claudia Sam. Flex your soul connection muscle and be your inner guide to fulfillment. Every Thursday on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You are here for a bigger reason and are worthy of accessing it. Experience happiness now. Tune in to your intuition and connect with me. Visit ClaudiaSamCoaching.com.
Heaven on Earth, your online school of divinity, building your inner coach as you lay down your foundation in the new earth with you as the authority. Take action now. The number one challenge people face every day is the negative voice in their head. We work each day to turn negatives into positives. It's all a matter of perception. Our challenge at this time is to remain intensely positive and focused, creating the world we wish to live in. Wake up on purpose with Cornelia's daily online positive messages guiding us in the new paradigm. Raise yourself into happiness and inner peace daily. Elevate your personal frequency, free from negativity, and reprogram yourself step by step, shifting your energy patterns with positive repetition, daily building your new earth with someone you trust. All the heavy lifting has been done for you. Wake up happy with CorneliaStephanieBIP.com. Try free for 7 days now.
Hey, welcome back. We are with Aspen Robinson, and we are talking about the emotional body code work. So Aspen, if people wanted to do a session with you, how would they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so they can find it on my website, and it's just August Knox, K-N-O-X, coaching.com. And there's more information too about what the modalities are and how they specifically work as well.
So again, that's August Knox, K-N-O-X, coaching.com.
Yep. Awesome. That's it.
Highly recommend it. Yeah. Okay. So emotional body code. All right. So then you also kind of blended in, and I'm not sure if we did this in our session or not. Maybe we did. I don't know. The Psych K. And so tell us a little bit about what that form, that modality is.
Absolutely. So Psych K is a way to actually reprogram the subconscious. It's based in this really amazing work where you sync up the left and the right side of the brain and you create like coherence basically between your emotions and your like logic. So it is a way to take like a limiting belief of say, I am not loved or worthy of love, and really reprogram the subconscious so that you feel worthy of it, and to call that in and, you know, and like on the to magnetize it really is what it does. And it's a super gentle modality, but I find that it's really incredible with the emotion code, because the emotion code kind of clears the debris. And then Psych K helps you form like higher vibrational or more loving beliefs.
I love that. Yeah. So, so we're going to stick around that. And so after you did the emotional body code work, you just sort of discovered that later and got trained in that particular modality.
And then how
do you think that they work together? Like, like it seems like everything you do almost is like a symphony, but mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to hear what it is in your words.
Yeah. I think, you know, the emotion code is so amazing for like clearing that stuff out. And then sometimes you get to that point where you're like, well, where do I go next? How do I expand? Because I want to step into my potential or my blueprint, and I don't really know how to do that. So Psych K is a way to actually create beliefs that move you towards that potential. So I find that's where it's actually the most powerful, because a lot of people, I think, get stuck in the healing cycle, thinking that they constantly have to heal, not realizing like we're actually at expansion. We go through healing and we get to expansion, and now we can step into who we are more fully.
I think I hit that quite a lot, actually, just because I'm processing clients a lot too. So I think I'm like, I'll process more and then I'll do more and I'll be better, you know, but I'm kind of like exhausted now. I'm like, it's enough kind of thing. So we definitely need to do a little bit more of that psychic work, I think.
You can only dig in the same wound for like so long, and then you're just like, okay, I'm hurting myself now, really.
Totally right. Like, kind of going backwards. So how do you think that does work in a person's psyche? Because again, because of the field I'm in, and I do have people I've worked with for a long period of time, you know, I do wonder, like, what happens when somebody is processing the same old wound over and over and over? I mean, there's obviously a stuckness, but how do you think it affects their body, their life, their kind of their energy? Like, what actually kind of happens psychologically, emotionally, physiologically?
I think it's like, you know, we have neural pathways, right? That create like the beliefs, and they're like ruts we get stuck in. And I think that with the emotions, it's the same way. We find comfort sometimes in the uncomfortable emotions that we feel because they're just normal to us. Like, we're so accustomed to them. And so when you've been living in fear, it can feel really dangerous to go into a state of love, because what if it gets taken away? Or what if like, I'm not worthy, right? And it's all of these things. So I feel like that's where we actually need, like, the nervous system needs to have space, because it does take courage to move from fear to love. And we have to have space in the nervous system to hold that risk, because it is risk, right? It feels like risk, even though love is never risk, but to be able to feel that. So I think that's kind of what happens. And then I think a lot of times we re-traumatize ourselves over and over and over again with our own, you know, wounds, the things people have told us, the things we've been through. It's just all of these stories that we're just stuck in that don't speak to our potential and how valuable we truly are as souls.
Yeah, or our essence. Actually, yes. Like I find a lot of these stories are passed down generationally.
Yes.
Or simply the projection of our parents and whatever they maybe did not deal with. Mm-hmm. And it's not even us at all, but we've way over identified to an absolute untruth in our system that had nothing to do with us, actually.
Absolutely.
And we base our whole life on it.
Yep. And the emotion code is one of those tools too. You can like identify the ancestral emotions that have been passed down the line. So you think about that and you think about like changing our DNA and being able to rewrite that or flip switches right through emotional energies. Like there's so much potential to consciously create the life we want and how we want to experience it in this work.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I noticed for myself, right, that when I do find like the whole goal is, oh, I just want my life to be peaceful and more peaceful. And I do all this work and I actually do get to these spaces where I feel peaceful. But it doesn't last for very long because I'm like, I'm bored now and I'm a boring person. And where's all my chaos? I have like nothing to like jazz me up anymore, you know? So I find that boredom, even with people who I do see go through some deep transformation, they finally get to the other side and they do. It's like all of our chaos gets quiet and it's like we don't really know who we are outside of it. Like I'm amazed at actually how much we live in chaos as if we're running a marathon and don't even notice it.
Yes.
Even notice it, you know what I mean? So anything about the boredom that, you know, like when people do finally get to an emptiness, like mm-hmm. to not, you know, an emptiness is a really good space of healing. Sometimes we see it as a grieving or a depression, but really it's just an emptiness. Like you say, empty out the nervous system. But then it can also be, it's so quiet, I don't know what to do. So what do you recommend when that happens?
It's so funny. I was literally just watching an amazing reel this morning about the difference between like pleasure and peace. And what it was saying was that pleasure is actually connected to addiction because we're looking for dopamine hits.
Yeah.
And so what we're looking for when it's pleasure is really just the absence of pain. So I think, and peace is really just that deep inner state of being. And so I think what it is can we let go of kind of our conversation, the addiction to pain and suffering? I think it's the pain and suffering that we're trying to like transcend. And if we're in a state of emptiness and peace, are we okay with who we really are? Like if we meet ourselves in that space, is it okay to be everything and nothing at the same time? Is that silence something that we can accept and embrace versus, right, the adrenaline rush all the time of the chaos?
Yeah. And I do think also in that quietude, I think one reason it could be a little unnerving, like let's say you've had a childhood that's been very chaotic.
Absolutely.
You treat it. I know that's true for me, right? So, then it becomes a life and death thing.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's like to calm everything down is almost counterintuitive to people yeah. who had chaotic childhoods, especially if you have sensitive children, empathic children, psychic children. It's very yeah. difficult for them to calm down because it goes against all of their intuition to stay alive, mm-hmm. to just, oh, so you expect me just to trust the world now.
Okay,
sure. Yeah. Tell me another one.
And I think that's a huge part of healing the nervous system, right? Is it's, we do get stuck in those patterns of having to be hypervigilant or be on guard and feeling like, you know, I have to take care of me. There's nobody out there that can take care of me. And it's all like our safety mechanism. So it definitely takes practice to learn how to be safe in the world. And to retrain, right? Because it's retraining the nervous system that it can experience peace and that it is okay to rest and let down the guard. But I have found that that is a definite practice. It is not something, and I'm sure you know this with your clients too, it doesn't happen overnight. It is like a loving practice every day that you have to show up for to remind yourself it's okay.
So one thing I have come across, I'll just throw it out there, that was brought into me by a lady that I brought on recently, and she does a lot of the inner child work, Raji Kabli. And so she has a podcast, if you go back and look at my YouTubes. But one of the things that she was talking about is just, you see this room in the center of your head, you call into your higher presence, which is like the best parent ever. Like if you ever had a really good parent, this would be it, right? And you call it into the center of your head and you walk it down to your sacred heart and you allow it just to hug you. And what happens is when you even imagine being hugged, or if I say, oh, I just want to give you a virtual hug or anything like that, it will trigger an oxytocin release and you start to feel safer. So even the brain doesn't know the difference between the reality and the energetics.
So
imagining being held and hugged by this safe higher presence was one thing that I have found has been working to convince that other part of me that it's okay. But any thoughts on that, like in terms of just physical touch, like sometimes it's hard to trust other people.
Absolutely.
That deep.
So it's interesting because this has been coming up so much in the last like 48 hours, even in sessions. And it's right. Our heart has like a field. And so heart math studies this so beautifully. And it's when we're in somebody else's enveloped in another person's heart field, and it's like a hug or it's physical comfort, our nervous system calms and it feels like you're saying safe and nurtured, like it's okay to relax because I'm safe. And so I think that is something that, you know, over the last couple of years we've been disconnected from because we've had to have so much space involved from other people. And I think there's it's like a getting back to the safety of each other, the safety of physical comfort and connection. And if you were a child who didn't receive that, there's probably such a deep part of you that's craving that. And that's part of the healing, is feeling safe and being able to ask for it and receive it. But it, like you're saying, if your body has a physical response to it, then it's baby steps. It's maybe sitting next to each other, maybe then holding hands. Like we have to also honor like where we're at with it too.
So it sounds like the emotional body code work and the Psych K are really good modalities to help go in and rewrite some of this.
Yes.
So that you can start to move not only into the silence, the space of the nervous system, but ultimately maybe a more peaceful, but more loving, safe space. Like the goal here sounds like it's really more to come back into the heart-centered loving beings that we are.
Yes.
And these modalities, particularly working together, work phenomenally well.
Absolutely. It helps us feel safe and connect back to like that unconditional love.
Okay.
That, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So we're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned for more. And we're going to talk about going into the Holo Records and Akashic Records next and how that works with this.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Us, Critical Conversations on the Challenges of Our Time, with me, Dr. Crystal Lee Crane, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, every fourth Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. Listen while we focus on the intersections of truth and justice as we learn how to coexist, pushing our social transformation to the next level. Become true stewards of the justice that is needed in our world. Learn more at PreventionAgenda.org. That's PreventionAgenda.org.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion, with me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnutsonSpeaks.com.
Hey, welcome back. I am Adrienne. You can check out any of the work I offer at mywildmagic.com. I offer quests, personal sessions, soul blueprints, and I have a Wednesday night meditation that I run. So you can also reach Aspen at August Knox, that's K-N-O-X coaching.com for any of her services. So you were mentioning earlier, Aspen, about the soul blueprint. Like, you do mention that. I do soul blueprint work as well. And I'm just curious, how do you work with the soul blueprint? Like, how does that come in? And does that work a little bit more with the Akashic record readings or some of the other stuff that you do?
I do. So the way that I access it is through the Akashic records. And it started because I just intentionally wanted like a really clean space to kind of explore it away from like whatever might be coming in. And so when I open up the Akashic records, what happens is a lot of times people's like gifts and what they're here to do and how their potential and greatness could really play out, that is the information that comes through for me. And so we use it in sessions as a tool to help navigate like where you might be stuck. What are the things from this life or from other lifetimes that have been stopping you from reaching that potential? And that potential could just be feeling loved or feeling worthy, right? Or it could be carrying out whatever your divine mission is. And so I use it in order to support reminding people of who they are and what they came here to do, and then really lifting them up so that they feel confident to do it.
Yeah, there you go. So I think, you know, I can see what you're saying about if you do the emotional body code work and clear out that from the nervous system, the psyche work in terms of clearing out the belief systems that could be in the way, you've just got so much more room just to go into that emptiness, but also more so to find yourself in the minute you come home to yourself, because there's enough room in your body to be in your body. Then the minute you're attached into your heart center, you're also tapped into your higher divine purpose blueprint.
Absolutely.
Energy. Because it's within all of us, right?
Of course.
I'm here. It's in your DNA. So it's already there. So yes, that makes a lot of sense, actually, what you're saying. So this kind of brings me to the point then. So it sounds like when we're so emotionally jacked up, with reactions to life, other people's thought forms and belief systems, our reactions to ourselves and to life, false belief systems, entities, all kinds of different things that come in, right? Mm-hmm. That we either don't feel safe or we don't actually have enough room maybe to come into our body.
Yes. And we're
more about that.
And that's such a big thing, is that we have to be able to feel safe to ground into our human experience to carry out the purpose that we're here to do in our human life. And so many times, because of all the things you just mentioned, we're like halfway out, right? Or we're living in our upper chakras and we're being, you know, judgmental or critical about our humanity. And so when we can heal that emotional body and we create that space, it's so much easier to see and to appreciate our humanity and our divinity. And that's where really our blueprint meets, isn't it? Because it's like our spiritual gifts and our human experience and how they're here to serve.
Well, yeah. And it feels like when people are more in their body, they're also more compassionate with nature.
Yes.
And the nature kingdom, like we're more in alignment to what's healthy for our bodies, what's healthy for the earth. And when we're not in our bodies, it just seems like too much in the head or too much whatever. We're just like, throw the trash out the window, or let's go build a nuclear power plant and explode it all over the ocean, whatever, you know.
So
it seems like our relationship to the earth, because if we're talking about global climate change or just an evolution that's going on there, body, earth, kind of like one, sounds like. So this is where I think it gets a bit tricky, is because most people, because I think I am, right? Because I'm thinking all day long, I'm in my body, I'm walking around, I'm driving a car, but that's far from the truth. I'm emotional, so I must be in my body.
Yep. I must be human.
Can you explain the difference between somebody who's really fully in their body? It reminds me of like Thich Nhat Hanh being fully in their body versus most of the time I got up, I went for a run, I went to work, I made some money, I bought this. We think we're in our body and we're not. So can you explain a little bit more the difference so that people
understand? Absolutely. I think that we're not in our body when we're traumatized by what we've experienced, and we'll disconnect, right? We'll numb out. So we'll not be able to connect with the feelings of our life and what's going on. And I think that we also disconnect from our bodies when we don't value it, or we think of it as like a tool or something that has to be controlled or managed versus the sacred experience. And so it creates this, like we see it in the spiritual world all the time, where the person is talking and they're like way up here and it's all super woo woo, but we can't actually grasp it because it's not grounded in something that we can like hold on to firmly. And so being grounded in our physical body is remembering the value of our human experience. And like you said, it's that connection to everything that's around us, right? It's being able to see the value in the messy things, see the beauty in, you know, everything that's happening around us and in nature and in other people. So I really think it's the honoring. Like we're grounded when we
have food. Yeah, I get it. Okay. I'm seeing where you're going with this. That makes a lot of sense. So honoring, gratitude, respect, some of these higher human qualities happen when we get in our body, and when we're out of our body, we're blaming, we're judging, we're scared, we're angry, we're sad. So when we're out of our body, you get further away, you get more disconnected, more upset. In your body, you actually feel safer, more loving, more honoring, more respectful. Is that kind of a good gauge?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
All right. And yeah, that works. Yeah. And it seems like the breath is also probably going to be a good gauge. Like if you're hyper breathing up here,
yes,
not in your body, breathing, abdomen breathing, which is so good for your body and your health, probably more. Okay. Now, so with the Akashic Records, then how did you get into that? How'd you come across that?
So that actually happened because when I was 11, I started having all of these past life memories and it did not fit into the paradigm that my parents lived in. And so I just kind of sat on it for years. I didn't shove it down, but it was like my own secret thing that I just like truth really that I just kind of held. So when I got into this work, I started noticing how much other people's past lives information was coming in and how much energy was holding them back. And so that's really where it all started to have an outlet, was in helping other people understand who they were. And I found with like emotion body code, it was just, there are so many emotions we hold from other lifetimes. So it was like another level of being able to clear energetically too.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes people are like, you know, thinking they don't want to be in this life and they'll just end it and start over. But one of the convincing things for me not to bother with that is it's like, well, you're just going to come back with the same mess. Might as well handle it now with the players on the chessboard you got now, you know?
So true.
Very true. So when you go into the Akashic Records, what is that experience like for you then? Like, and with somebody else, like, there's a guide, what happens?
The way that I experience it is we use the pathway prayer, which is a channeled prayer that's been around for a while. So we say the prayer, open up the records, and then usually immediately on my right, there is a record keeper. So the being that's responsible for maintaining the sanctity of that person's records. So they come through with like a description and a feeling, like an energy feeling that I share with that person. And then usually one of two things happens. Sometimes the record keeper is so just ready to go that they take us off in a specific direction. And it's not always the way the person wanted to go, but it's always what they needed. And other times they allow that person to kind of question or navigate it. And then it just comes through as feelings and images and knowing. So very much the clairs and how they work. Yeah.
Yeah. And then sometimes if I imagine the Hall of Records for the Akashic Records, I almost see it like this spiraling temple that just goes higher and higher and higher and higher with layers, you know, like like rooms in it. I don't know. Like that's just my image of it, maybe my imagination. But what do you see on the inner level? Right.
So I used to see like a beautiful big actual library, and then there would be books that would be brought out about a specific thing. So I can still get to that space if I want to. But I've found that it's almost because it's so quick. Now what happens is I go in and I'll immediately be in the energy of the lifetime they're bringing up or a blueprint. There's other guides that tend to come in too for me. And so sometimes there's like a council meeting that happens. But I think each of us has a really particular way our records are set up, like visually. And so I think that sounds like exactly what your records look like. And how, right? I think it's like what's beautiful and honoring to us means something.
Yeah, very, very cool. Okay. And so once somebody, you're holding a space, you have a guide, you know, a record keeper, somebody's talking to you, doing a session, but on the inner levels, they're actually kind of there with you, kind of a soul travel yeah. thing. And they're going to guide in any way. And so like, if you were going to do Akashic record work, because it is kind of deep work in a way, yes. Then you might need to have some clearing, some clarity, some space to take that kind of information in. Otherwise, it can maybe be a little overwhelming, if I imagine.
Absolutely.
So if you were looking to actually have more groundedness in your life purpose or relationship, like what are some of the common reasons that people want to do Akashic record work?
Usually it's because they're on this like healing or awakening journey and there's certain things that are coming up. And so they want like definite answers or they want the bigger picture. And so that's what happens a lot of times is they need clarity and there's just like an intuitive knowing that it's past lives. The other reason is some people go into it because they just want to see like who they've been. And I think there's something really amazing about looking at all of the amazing things you've accomplished in other lifetimes, maybe where you've been stuck. So it's not always like, these are the bad things that are happened. A lot of our focus is on, these are the ways, this is the wisdom you can bring forward. These are the things you're actually amazing at. And that way it's like a remembrance for that person so that they have the courage to step into it in this lifetime and embrace it.
The book StrengthFinder 2.0, focus on the five best things yes. you're at, not the five things you're not. Let that go.
Exactly.
Okay. And then we're going to go to a quick break. I'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Us, Critical Conversations on the Challenges of Our Time, with me, Dr. Crystal Lee Crane, on TransformationTalkRadio.com every fourth Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. Listen while we focus on the intersections of truth and justice as we learn how to coexist, pushing our social transformation to the next level. Become true stewards of the justice that is needed in our world. Learn more at PreventionAgenda.org. That's PreventionAgenda.org.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion, with me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnutsonSpeaks.com.
Welcome back. Okay. So here we are yet again. Okay. We're going to swing back around to that, that Akashic record conversation, because you're speaking a lot in terms of the Akashic records with past lives. And of course, maybe your blueprint in this lifetime, which can be tied to past lives. I find a lot of times with sometimes it can take a person maybe 10 or 12 lifetimes to gain enough soul's wisdom to really manifest the actual soul blueprint, higher vision they want to do. And that's true too. Like sometimes it takes a little bit of building. It's not always one lifetime. We get one shot. It can be a building of momentum.
I completely agree. I feel like, I don't know that I've ever come across one where it's just been like, oh, one and done. I feel like it is exactly as you're describing it. It's like, I'm going to struggle. I'm going to start from the bottom and I'm going to build my way up. And then there's like that lifetime, right, of like completion where you have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Okay. So my other question though, was that, you know, because when you get into these, etheric realms, really there is no time and space so much. Right. And, but what do you think about the future selves? Cause we tap in, I don't know if you even work much with the future selves, but I do, I'm just kind of asking, got the past lives, got the present moment, got to clean it up. But what about, do you get future lives that come in sometimes too?
Yes.
Or what happens with the future selves?
That's always like a little bit of a trip, because it's like, okay, you need to do this because this is what's coming. And sometimes that's intimidating where, you know, you're already working on one piece of it. But that does happen. And it happens a lot of times when you're part of like a soul family or a soul group that's here to do something on a bigger level. And so the information comes in that, you know, what you're doing in this lifetime is important, but it's important that it be completed because of X, Y, Z that's going to happen in the future. And so the way that that comes through as well, there's always like a little bit of a, like, if there's an etheric, like warning label, it's also the recognition that the timelines are not set in stone. And so there's a lot of like potential for free will I find within that. And that adds a whole other layer of interesting to the Akashic.
Yeah, totally. Okay. So, if we wanted to kind of streamline this all together to have an experience of it, to do a collective clearing, collectively, because we can all come together and our individual healing contributes to the collective, but we're going to hold space like a big lighthouse in the collective right now, with Aspen as she opens up a clearing. So just tell us a little bit about what to expect or what to prepare for.
So when it comes to emotions, right, we have our personal ones, past life, inherited ones, but we also have collective.
And yeah, say that one more time. We have personal.
We have personal. We have past life. We have inherited. So like our ancestral stuff. And then we have collective. And so, you know, at any given time, we're clearing on any of those levels or working through those levels. And so when we talk about collective, what we're clearing here is something that the collective has agreed upon that is causing pain. So it could be like survival is a really big deal, or conditional love, right? Those are like energies within the collective itself. And so when we are clearing within the collective, what we're clearing is your personal attachment to that belief system. And so when we individually heal that and release that, it breaks down that collective belief so that something higher can come in.
Okay. Got it.
So the intention here feels like what we can support is muscle testing for an emotion. So an emotional energy that is playing out in the collective right now that is ready to be dissolved and healed. And so if you just simply want to set the intention to be a part of this clearing, it will release that emotion from the collective, from your energy field, so that you then have space to experience something better, higher.
Got it. Sounds beautiful. Let's do it.
All right.
Eyes open, eyes closed.
You either way is completely fine. I'm going to muscle test real quick and we'll see which emotion it is. So it is unworthiness. And this, I think, is a big one. So we're just going to use the magnet. We're going to clear it out of our energy fields. You may feel it. I can feel it definitely.
You feel it. I just totally spaced out again. Forget whatever I was going to do the rest of the day. Now
it is gone. So you may feel it like that. But if you choose to receive it, then you're no longer holding on to that energetic connection of that in the collective. So I say, let's do two more just so that we have just a deeper clearing here. It's fear. Fear is the next one. So we're going to clear that one. And again, you may feel it. It's like chills all down your body sometimes, or hot or cold, you might sense. So that will help break that fear that you're buying into, right? That the collective is holding on to. And then the next one here is worthlessness. So we're definitely clearing on our sense of self. So we're going to clear this one. All right. And that one has also been released. So what I would say is, moving forward, if you choose to receive this, is just noticing what thoughts or memories might come up that are connected to those feelings, because they tend to kind of float through as they're processing out. Don't attach to them. Don't dwell on them. Just lovingly witness them and let them float out, because your body and your energy will process the rest of it.
That's pretty cool. Now, if we were to connect what we just did into the Hall of Records, mm-hmm. on collective, if you feel like it, your choice.
Absolutely.
Do you feel like going into the Hall of Records as part of this experience on mm-hmm. behalf of the collective to see if there's any information with what we just cleared? You kind of get where I'm going with that?
100%. It's been coming through, so I'm glad that you asked the question. What's coming through as part of this ascension and this healing, right, is opening up the 5D heart, the high heart, like that sacred heart of unconditional love. And so what's happening is, this is a collective agreement for everybody who's on this call to step into that energy of the sacred heart and that unconditional love for themselves, for the world. And so it's like us holding that higher vibration so that deeper healing can happen. So it really is, like you said, a lighthouse. That's exactly what it is. It's now we can hold that energy and we can be that beacon, and we can take that vibration with us wherever we go to help facilitate those who maybe aren't on the same page as us yet.
Okay. So going with the unconditional love, one statement that I like a lot that I do for myself is, I am, using an I am statement, I am the all-consuming, meaning you're going to consume anything less than the all-consuming flame of unconditional love. So it's a good way to kind of hold it in your body. It's a very safe feeling. You remember how unconditionally loved you are, and you also become a blessing to all life as unconditional love. So again, I'll say the statement one more time, just to sort of kind of seal in some of the energy that us mentioned. I am the all-consuming flame of unconditional love. So seal it in, beautiful ruby flame of divine peace. Wow. That was awesome. Very, very good. Yeah.
Good.
I've completely lost any thought for the show now. I know we have a little bit of time left, and I'm completely.
It's that higher vibration, right? You reach that higher vibration and you're just like, this goes back to peace. Well, like,
I am remembering one thing. I have seen your Instagram, and I would like to invite people onto your Instagram. And that is,
it's just August Knox Coaching. Yeah.
Okay. And that's AUGUSTKNOXcoaching.com. August, like the month, Knox, KNOX, coaching.com. And check her out on Instagram, because she's got a really fabulous Instagram post where it's super cute what you do, where you really do help empaths.
Yes.
So see what you do on that, because I work with a lot of empaths. And so I liked what you were doing with that.
Thank you. So I feel like empaths are so important to what's happening in the world right now, because empaths, when they can heal and create a healthy emotional body, there's the capacity for such deep, you know, compassion and understanding that kind of reaches into the world right now. And so I support empaths in learning how to heal their emotional body, how to set healthy boundaries, how to recognize. There's so many people that don't even know they're empaths and they felt like something is wrong with them. So it really is a place to help understand how you can support yourself emotionally and energetically, and then what a gift you are to the world.
Yeah, and your posts are just so adorable and cute, actually. And they're so simple about, do you feel this, this, and this, you know? Yes. So I think if you are an empath, I think sometimes we do maybe attract situations in where we feel made wrong, we feel made crazy, we feel used at times. You know? So there's all these things that happen that sort of maybe put us in a victimization consciousness at times, but we're really not. As a matter of fact, we have this huge energy that is a power center if you know how to manage it well. So I like that you even teach people how to be aware if you are an empath, and then you give a lot of super simple things that people can do if they are empaths that will help balance and manage their energy. So thank you so much for being on the show today. Again, you can reach Aspen at augustknoxcoaching.com. You can look at my stuff at mywildmagic.com. And I can't wait to keep working with you.
Me too. Thank you for having me. It was amazing.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Have a good day.
Thanks for tuning in to My Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrienne Cobb. Each one of us has a soul purpose on this earth and a higher purpose full of creative expression and unique soul attributes. Make sure to tune in next week on TransformationTalkRadio.com to continue your journey home to your truest self and pursue the path of unconditional self-love. If you would like to learn more about me, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.